How many know God's good? Amen. Turn and tell somebody, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Well, that's exactly what I want to talk about tonight, the goodness of God. How many of you, you know, sometimes that we, We say things, but, there a few years ago, if somebody said, well, the Lord is good, you know, they say all the time. Well, that's great. That's great to say that, but do we live in the reality of it? So tonight, we just want to look at some scriptures and look at some things that talk about the goodness of God. You know, everything that God is based out of His goodness. He is a good God, always has been, always will be. He just didn't become good when He sent Jesus. He always has been good. Amen? He always has been God's nature. And the only reason God, we ever see any the side of God that you think's not good, it actually is, because if there was no judgment for sin, then there would be no righteousness with God, and God is righteous. And so out of His goodness, He convinces us of our sin. Out of His goodness, He sent Jesus to die for our sin. Amen? Out of His goodness, He's prepared a heaven for us and a hell for those who would be His enemies, because He is good. Hallelujah. So I want to start in Luke, the 18th chapter. And we're just going to look at some, probably some familiar verses tonight. And, you know, sometimes because, you know, in the world, how many of you realize in the world, everything doesn't go nice and just in the world all the time? Things happen, don't they? And yeah, it's a surprise to people sometimes. You know, I don't want to be the one that bursts your bubble, but just because you're a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to go right all the time, or that everybody's going to be nice to you anytime. Okay, but thank God, God is always faithful. He's always good, and so a lot of the times I think. Of course, you know, we have an enemy. You know, Pastor Craig's, but he talks about that a lot, that we have an enemy, just to remind us, because sometimes we lose sight of that. But God is always good. And I'm telling you, God is greater than anything the devil ever had and ever did. But this world operates according to the course of this world, you know, operates according to the Bible says, the prince of the power of the air. So in the world, you're not going to have goodness that much. You're not going to have, and you just wonder sometimes. I don't know about you, but the older I get, and I'm not the Ancient of Days, by the way, okay? Now, I said that the other day. The other day, on Wednesday night, I went over to talk to, at camp meeting, to talk to the Summer Blitz. That's the youth. From 6th grade up to 12, talk to them about, you know, possibly thinking about coming to Raymond Bible College someday, and giving them some information about that. And, you know, and I was talking about, you know, that I'm not that old. I'm not the Ancient of Days. And they looked at me like they didn't even respond. That's how old to them I actually am. They didn't even get the reference. You know, in school now, if I mention Gilligan's Island, nobody knows what it is. They look at me like, I said, you don't know who Gilligan, you don't know. And so you just have to leave all those things off anymore. All those good things we learned from Andy Griffith and, you know, Barney Fife and all that kind of stuff, they have no idea who that is anymore. So I just have to leave those things there. All right, did you find Luke 18? I've been stalling so these guys could get in here because they need this more than anybody. Amen. Amen. No, praise the Lord. Appreciate all these young folks. Even Joe Bob, young folks. All right, Luke 18, verse 18 and 19. Interesting thing here. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why, the King James says, callest thou me, or why do you call me good? None is good except one, save one, that is God. Another of the gospel says, there's none good but one, and that is God, my Father. Notice here, Jesus isn't, you know, Jesus didn't try to be humble, he was humble. But he's saying this, look, my goodness doesn't compare, there's one that sits alone as the good one, and that's God. He alone is good. Any other thing that might be good compared to the goodness of God can't even measure up. It can't even come close. So Jesus said, look, you may think my teaching's good. You may think what I've been doing's good. But I'm telling you right, there is one good, and that's my Father. That's God the Father. Amen. And he's the same God. He's the God who is your Father. He is good. And so Jesus makes that statement. There's one. There's only one that's good. Save one. And that's God. He is good. And so, you know, Jesus never sinned, right? So that means he never lied. So if Jesus said God is good, guess what? God is good. Amen. And so we can trust what he had to say. And again, you know, he's not trying to be humble. He is humble. He is speaking out of humility. And we know that Jesus said, you know, that's the Father in me. He does the work. I say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see my Father do. He shows me what I must do and I do it. I came to do the will of my Father. Why? Because God is good. Amen. You know, we're not going to turn there, but Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good, and healing all the oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God anointed him. And when God anoints you, you got the ability to go around and do good. Come on. Amen. Come on. God in you. God's in each one of us as a child of God. He's in us. We're in him. We're in the goodness of God. That goodness is in us. Glory to God. And really, that's what we're going to see. If we'll let that goodness out, if we'll magnify the goodness of God, if we'll glorify his goodness, then it's going to draw people to him. I want us to go to Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter 34. Now here, Moses, you know, he's the children of Israel. They're out of Egypt. They haven't, you know, it took them a while. Even Moses himself didn't get to go into the promised land. But, you know, they wandered there 40 years. But they get to this place in Exodus 34. And Moses had come down and he'd been on the mountain. And God had written the Ten Commandments in the tablet with his finger. And Moses came down and Joshua, he meets Joshua. And Joshua says, there's a sound of war in the camp. Well, you remember what had happened there? It's back over in chapter 32. They'd made that golden calf. One of my favorite sections of scriptures, Aaron. You know, people, when people get caught red-handed doing something, they come up with the greatest stories ever. And this is one of the greatest excuses I've ever heard anybody ever give. Now, here's Aaron, the brother of Moses, whom Moses had brought with him to speak to Pharaoh. I mean, Aaron had thrown Moses threw down his rod, and Aaron had seen it all. He'd seen, you know, those sorcerers throw down theirs, and those they became snakes. But then Moses' rod ate those others, swallowed them up, and he picked it up. He'd seen all those great things take place. And so they get out there. Moses is up on the mountain. They don't know. People said, where is Moses? He's gone. Maybe God's killed him. Maybe he just... So they said, you know, we're out here. Did he bring us out here to die? Let's make a God for ourselves and to take us back to Egypt. I don't know why people get set free and they want to go back in the bondage they just came out of. Amen. But he, you know, it's like, I don't know how many times I've been to the hospital. Somebody's there in a getting breathing treatments and they have to go out and smoke a cigarette. I never have understood that. Bless their hearts. Darling, I didn't call your name or anybody else's name, you know, but that's how people do. And that's how we think if we don't think according to God. Well, anyway, so Aaron, Moses comes down there and he says, Aaron, what's going on here? He goes, you know, these people, they're rebellious. He said, they brought me their gold and I put it in this fire and out came this calf. Well, if you read the whole story, Aaron said, bring me your gold. And Aaron he knew how to work with it. He made the calf. Yeah. But he told Moses, I put it in the fire and out came the calf. Right? Doesn't that sound like your four-year-old? Those of you who raise kids? You know? I'm sure Glenn and Heather got some great stories on Morgan, but we won't go there tonight. But you know how they tell you, know, the kids, I don't know. You know, they're there, the crayons, they've written all over the wall. Who did that? I don't know. That's what Aaron did. Well, anyway, so now Moses has asked God, you know, Moses said, look, if you're on God's side, get over here. If you're not over there, and people that are over there got swallowed up. And so now God and Moses are having a conversation, and Moses talks in chapter 33, look, if I found favor in your sight, then all of a sudden Moses just stops and says, God, I want to see your glory. And he said, look, nobody can see my face and live. He said, but I'll pass by you and I'll hide you in this cleft of a rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me, amen? Amen. He said, and when I pass by, I'll place my hand there, and then I'll remove it, and you'll get to see my back. Well, that happened. Moses came down from the mountain after this time, and he was shining. So they said, look, you got to put a veil over your face. We can't even look. And all he saw was the back part of God, amen? But he said, I want to know you, God. And God said, I will proclaim my name. So over here in chapter 34, God is telling us who he is. He's naming himself. And you know, the Bible is a progressive revelation, especially throughout the Old Testament, progressing to the time that the Messiah comes, and that we know that's Jesus. And then Jesus leading up, and the Gospels telling his story, his life story. And then the book of Acts, the proof of his resurrection. And then the epistles writing concerning living in this, in the reality of being in Christ, then gets to the book of Revelation telling us about the end times. And, you know, there's so many different interpretations of what's going to happen in the end times. Just remember this, we win. Amen. All right? No matter when it happens, how it happens, we win. Okay? And so that's the main thing to remember about that. But, you know, we got some, I see them, you know. You know, Facebook has become the great scripture arguing point in the world. All these, I tell some of them, I said, like, look, would you guys quit arguing about this stuff on Facebook? You're making the rest of us look bad. Just call each other or text each other or something. Quit arguing about it. And they'll stop for a while, then it springs back up. We've got somebody now, you know, says that, you know, that there's no such thing in the Bible as the rapture, and there's not going to Jesus. It's just Jesus, you know, just whatever. Okay? You know. I'm perfectly willing on the way up to tell you I was right. Amen. All right, you find Exodus 34, look at verse 6. And the Lord passed by. Now remember, he's putting him there. He's passed by. Passed by and proclaimed, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, he says here, Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Now look at this. And abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that while no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, the fourth generation. Well, that all took place. He dealt with sin where? In Christ. Glory to God. And he didn't just clear it. He didn't just say, okay, it's over. No, Jesus paid the price for it because he's a merciful God. But notice that the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, you know, God's not like some people who brag about themselves and tell you all kinds of things that they're not. God's telling the truth here. He's merciful. Aren't you glad? How many of you run up against his mercy before? Amen. That's when you did it wrong, but you didn't get what you deserved, right? Now his grace is getting something you didn't deserve, but you didn't do anything. That was just given to you freely. But here's mercy. But then he goes on and says, a gracious and long suffering. I'll always say it that way, long suffering. Thank God. Thank God. And that's why Jesus hadn't come back yet, because God is long suffering. Right. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for, I don't know who it's going to be, but that last one that God knows, because he is timeless. He knows when that last one is going to make a decision. And then the eternity will be upon us. And he knows that, but he's waiting for that. But I love this, abundant, not just a little bit, abundant in goodness. Abundant in good, not just a little goodness, abundant. I know growing up in church, we went to church. Now, I grew up in church, but I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. And I just had my 39th year of being saved, June 30th, 39 years, glory to God. And here in August is my 39th year of my first sermon. Now, you'll never hear that sermon because it's not worth listening to, but it was my first sermon. So, hallelujah. Thank God. Woo, glory to God. That first church, after I graduated from Rhema, I went back to my home church just to be a part, just to help out anyway. I didn't really have any direction other than to go home, went home, and and started helping out with the praise and worship, helping out doing running sound, whatever I could do. And a month after being there, the pastor asked me if I'd be the youth pastor, associate pastor, and worship leader. And so we did all that for about 9 years. And when I left, they handed me all the master cassette tapes of all the sermons that they still had that I'd ever preached. Oh, I'd love to hear that. I burnt them. Just a few years ago, after we'd been in Tulsa, I burned them because I was like, no, nobody needs to hear these. Amen. You grow. Amen. Not that they were bad, but it's just I know so much more now than I did then. I just know. Okay. Hallelujah. Of course, a lot of them, you could just go buy Brother Hagin's tapes. I just preached his stuff anyway. So just get his stuff. All right. But we grow and we grow. But we should be growing in our knowledge and our realization of the goodness of God in our life. All right, let's go to Psalm 107. I like this psalm. Well, I like all the Bible, but most of the Bible. That part about buffet and your body, I'm not sure. I like to read it buffet your body, but it's in there anyway. Now, what I want to do, I want to read the first two verses in the King James. Then I want to go and read it in the Passion. Then we'll go back to King James and read the rest of this. I'm actually going to read this whole chapter if time allows us, but because it's just so good to talk about it here. All right, so Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Everybody say, he is good.
He is good.
And it says, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, I'm reading this here recently, and I saw something I'd never seen before out of that. I've always, people usually will just start with verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they say, well, I'm redeemed. God's delivered me. But he actually, if you look at it in context, it's what should the redeemed of the Lord be saying? For he is good and his mercy endures forever.
Yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to constantly going around saying that, oh, God, you are good.
Amen.
You are good and your mercy endures forever, God. Just keeping ourselves in constant reminder of that. Now, the Passion version here in these first two verses, well, actually two and kind of into three, but I'll just read it. It says, let everyone, this is verse 1, give all their praise and thanks to the Lord. Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. Yes, he's always loving and kind, and his faithful love never ends. That's where they get the word goodness there. They translate it that he's loving and kind, and his faithful love is a translation of the word mercy, which is the if you read in the Old Testament, and if you like to do word studies and use like Strong's Concordance, that type of stuff, it's the word that is found in covenant faithfulness. It's the word loving kindness. It's found there in Exodus 34 a couple times. Do you remember when David went and fetched Mephibosheth? You remember that story? 2 Samuel chapter 9. David said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness towards? Loving kindness. And it's this same word here. It's this same word. So he says this. So go ahead, let everyone know it. And I like that. Here it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He says this. Go ahead, let everyone know it. What? That he's kind. And he's faithful. Tell the world how he broke through and delivered you from the power of darkness and has gathered us together from all over the world. Yeah, tell them you're redeemed. But why are you redeemed? Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. See, let's magnify that mercy. Let's glorify his goodness. Let's make much of it. So let's go back now and pick up in verse 3 of Psalm 107. I'm going to read this from the King James. I may take some of the King James words out, just make them, regular English instead of King James English. It said, and he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Now, this is one of the psalms about what took place throughout Exodus and Deuteronomy, through that whole area. It says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at that. Look what happened when they got in trouble. What'd they do? They cried out to the Lord. And what did God do? He delivered them. And what should we do? Praise him. for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Verse 9, he satisfied the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor and they fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. See, even though they got themselves in trouble because of what they'd done, and they put God in position, he had to do something about it. But when they cried out to God, he heard him. Why? Because he's good. Oh, that men would praise him. Verse 16. For he's broken the gates of brass and cut bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. This reminds me of Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul will be going along. He'll be talking about all that God has done already in Christ for us. And then all of a sudden, excuse me, he'll just stop and say, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. I mean, this psalm is just getting going here, and he says he just keeps praising God. Oh, that men would do that. He said, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man or at their wit's end. You ever been there? You may not have been out in the sea, but you're out there in business. These are businessmen. They're out in the midst of the sea. They're going to work every day. It seems like everything's popping. They get raised up, then they go down to the depths. They get going back and forth like that. It says they reel to and fro. They're at their wits' end. But verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, the winds, he says. So he brings them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assemblies of the elders. Now, here he's talking about, notice there, our praise for his goodness and for his wonderful works, you know, sometimes it's for ourselves. Other times it's meant to be done and for others. And then when we come together, amen. You know, we ought to be going around talking about how good God is all the time. Just talking about it. What do you mean? People walk, what do you mean God's good? Well, let me tell you. You asked, so I'm going to tell you. What do you mean God's? Well, let me tell you what was happening in my life and how God's been good to me and God's been faithful. He goes on here to say, he turns rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, the fruitful land into barren for the wickedness of them that dwell. It's because of wickedness again. Turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And he makes the hungry to dwell. They prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly and allows them not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon the princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high from the affliction and makes his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop their mouth. Who is wise and who will observe these things? Even they shall understand. Now here's this word again, this covenant word for kind. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You could have said they're the goodness of the Lord. Same word, a lot of times translated as that. Hallelujah. Turn over to Psalm 145. Now remember, God hasn't changed. Amen. He's the same God as he was then. We cry unto him and he hears us and delivers us. Glory to God. What's he tell us? Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Why? Because God is good. God is good. And his mercy, hallelujah, his mercy is for us. Here, this is familiar, Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to how many?
All.
And his tender mercies are over all his works. You know, Jesus said something about the Father. He said, you know, God makes the sun to rise on the just and unjust. He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Why? Because God is good. Why did Jesus come? Do you remember? I mean, John 3:16 is famous. Why? Because God does what? Loves people. For God so loved the world. He loves people. You know, he loves people that are that right now are in rebellion against him. He still loves them. And if they'll cry to him, he'll be good to them. Amen. And he'll have mercy on them. In fact, you know, he's already done it through Jesus. They just knew about it. Isn't that right? But notice it says he's good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I like that because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Amen. Tell your neighbor right now, his mercy's over you. Amen. His mercy, it says it's over all his works. It's over all his works. I don't have it on the list. Morgan, maybe you can find it. Psalm 23. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And I may read this here from this too. Hallelujah. God is good. Jesus said, if we had nothing else but Jesus saying it, we'd have to believe it. Isn't that right? Just because Jesus said it. But thank God we got more than just Jesus saying it. We've got the entire Word of God that tells us. Let's just hear Psalm 23 in the King James, just starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. Well, that's right here. Not going to have any enemies in heaven. So that can't be when we get to heaven. It's right now. God's setting the table now. Hallelujah. He's setting the table. And how many of you know God's table is full of good things? It's full of everything. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, you think about God setting the table. It's got everything you want on it. Everything you'd ever need on it. Anything you, and he says, I shall not want. Oh my, my, my. I better watch it. I have to, whoo. Hallelujah. Said, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One of the funny stories, I heard a preacher talking about this one time that his daughter, his teenage daughter was, you know, kind of going through some stuff and gotten into it with her mother, and they'd had a little discipline, you know. And so he said, you know, I decided at the family meal that night, I was going to have her pray over the meal. And so he said, I told her, I said, okay, you're going to give the blessing. So she sat there for just a little bit. And finally, she said, thank you, Lord, for preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, they all laughed and got that brought the healing that they needed right there. But anyway, he said, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, now doesn't God, now I've heard, well, God, he'll just give you as much as you can handle. No, he said, here, the cup runs over. Listen, it's not God's fault. Your cup's not big enough.
That's good.
He's going to run it over.
That's right.
You know, you think about it. Jesus told Peter, said, look, Peter said, look, we're going to pay our taxes. Jesus said, look, go out there and catch some fish. So he said, take the money out of the first fish. Got a bunch. Another time he had sent Peter fishing. You remember the first time? Peter said, look, preacher, I'm a professional fisherman. I've been out there all night. On Sea of Galilee, you don't fish during the day because it's clear water and the fish will see the net. He said, we've been out there, we're cleaning our nets. Look, I'm not going. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll go out and throw the net out. Jesus didn't tell him to throw. He said, go out and catch. All right.
Yeah.
So he goes out there and he throws the net in. And the fish start hitting that net and hit so much fish that it's sinking his ship. And then he calls his partner over, James and John, they come over and it almost sinks their boat, two boats getting sunk by one net. That's how God, that's running over.
Amen.
That's our God. Amen. That's our God. Hallelujah. Now, what do you think those fishermen did with all those fish? They sold them. Exactly. Boy, they had good business. Good men said that. But I wanted to get to verse 6 here. Surely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joe Bob and Anthony, come on up here. Joe Bob, your goodness. Anthony, your mercy. Follow me. Here we go. Just follow. Everywhere I go, I got goodness and mercy following me. Everywhere I go. Doesn't matter where we go. Everywhere I go, got goodness and mercy. Now watch this. Let's say I start to go up here and I stumble. What do I fall back into? Goodness and mercy. Everywhere I go, I got goodness and mercy following me. Amen. I don't have to turn around and look because I know they're there. God said it. I don't have to turn around. I don't have to. Well, where's the goodness of God? He's just right there. Just follow me. Amen. Amen. You guys sit down. Thank you. It's like, but it's almost like hot pursuit. When he says follow there, have you ever seen, we've got the Air National Guard there in Tulsa. And every once in a while, you'll see one of those fighter jets take off. Now, they're just not having fun. They're the target. They're taking off. And pretty soon, you'll hear, here they come. It's the pursuit. And they're in hot pursuit. It's not that, well, we're just going to follow you. No, it's following you, and we're going to overtake you. That's how the goodness and mercy, that goodness and mercy is not just following. Goodness and mercy is overtaking us, glory to God, in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll go to Romans chapter 2 now. We'll end with this tonight. God is good. Amen. And his goodness is with us. Glory to God. All the time. We don't have to turn around and look. That goodness and mercy follows us everywhere we go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all was lucky. I've done this before and had lots of steps go up and down the steps. By the time I get done, everybody huffing and puffing, you know. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 2. Verse number 4. Now, he'd been talking here about judging others, you know, and that. And he talked in chapter 1 about some things that are just an abomination before God and how these things that are not good. He said, but, you know, we have to be careful of ourselves that we don't judge others and we're doing the same things. But God's judgment is in truth. And he gets down here and verse 4, and he says, or despisest thou, or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Riches, what does that mean? Full supply, the abundance of God's goodness. Didn't we read that? He's abundant in goodness. Are you despising the abundance of God's goodness? When you see somebody that's involved in some of these things that he talks about being involved in, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, all these things, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, he's listed all these things in chapter 1. When you see some of that, don't despise, don't forget the abundance of God's goodness and the forbearance and what? Long suffering. Look at this. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God that led us all to repentance. That's why the gospel is called the good news. The good news. The gospel message is not, look, you know, good, dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell. That's not the good news. That's not good news to anybody, right? But the good news is you don't have to go. Your sin is separated, but I got good news for you. Good news tonight. Jesus has paid the price. Amen. Whatever it was that you've done, Jesus' blood has been shed. And not only that, God raised him from the dead so that you could be free, so that you could be raised up. See, the goodness of God. That's why we go out and preach the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And that God is good all the time. He wants to be good to how many? Everybody. He wants to be good to everybody. You know, here, first 2 weeks of this month, I had a group with me, 10 other young folks, basically, over in Kenya. And we go out on the street and minister and go to shops and homes, wherever we can get in. And we don't go out preaching. We just go out, we want to manifest and show people how good God is. So we'll go out and find out, you know, because the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, it didn't say the sick had to believe anything.
No.
It says it's the believer has to believe. So we go out there, we don't even ask them if they're believers. We ask anybody here in pain, anybody sick, anybody we can pray for. All right. We had one lady this last trip. She had lots of pain in her back and in her body. And so they ministered for a while. And then finally they said, well, why don't you, let's see, sit down here. And they looked, and her one leg was 5 inches shorter than the other one. 5 inches. And so they sat her down there and said, you know, watch, you know, they hadn't even talked to her about her relationship with the Lord at all. They're just ministering to her, trying to, you know, get her free from pain. She's in severe pain. She's a little shop owner. She owned a little shop, and she's just in pain, limping around, you know, and always in pain and bent over. Because they'd laid hands on her, and they said, now do what you couldn't do before. She tried. She's still in pain. So now they found out, they looked at her feet, and the one leg is 5 inches, 5 inches shorter. They said, and all of them said, that's a conservative figure estimate on it. 5 inches. Could have been a lot more, they said. But they said it looked, you know, that. And so they said, in the name of Jesus, leg, you grow out. Be equal to the other. And they said it didn't happen. Now, sometimes it popped, just pops right. They said just slowly started moving. And everybody, they said, now don't close, watch. And they told her, and it started going out there, and her eyes got real big, you know. And the other people that came around, they're watching it, and just as it's just moving out there. And pretty soon, there it was exactly equal with that other leg. And they said, now stand up. When she stood up, all the pain in her body, no matter where it was, where she had been, was totally gone. Totally gone. Now why? Because God's good. See, that's what God wants, to be good to people. He wants to be good to people. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I know a few years ago we were there. Well, 2 years ago we were there when ministering in a hospital. And we'd gone around the different places. They had one room was set up. Everybody in there had malaria. Another room, different ones, you know, different. And so, but different places. I know they had one guy that hadn't walked for how long? That was when with your group, wasn't it? He hadn't walked yet. And he walked for the first time in a long time. And but in the hospital there, all the groups have come back. They've ministered throughout the hospital. And we're standing there. And this young lady comes up, and she's dressed, you know, she's got a nice dress on, and she's all smiling, and she's looking at us like we should know. We don't know who she is. And so finally we had one of the interpreters, Joseph was the one that asked, Anthony knows Joseph. Joseph asked her, said, well, and she said, oh, you don't recognize me. No, she goes, I was one of the people in the malaria ward, and whenever they prayed for me, I was healed, and I told the doctor, check me. I need to go home. I'm healed. And the doctor came by the time, and this was, you know, 15 minutes ago, she's laying there sweating, full of malaria. Now she's totally healed. Doesn't even look like, I mean, she didn't look like a sick person at all. she got out of her hospital gown. She's got a nice dress on. She's there totally healed and well. Why? Because God is good. God is good, and he wants to be good to people all the time. And so that's why I say this. Number one, know God is good to you. Know it. Don't ever forget it. It may not look like it. Look, it may not look like it, but his goodness is there. He's faithful, and his goodness is following after you. It's there all the time. It's available to you all the time. But second of all, talk about it. Magnify his goodness. Oh, that men would praise him for his goodness. And for his mercy, that we would praise him to the children of men, that we would just go around and just talk about how good God is. God is good. Amen. He's a good God. He wants to be good to everybody, not just us, not just his children. He wants to be good to everybody. It's not God's will that any would perish. God's will is that all would come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, we know some men and women will choose to reject God, and that's painful knowing that, and I'm sure it's painful to God, but we should be telling people about the goodness of God. Amen? And that lady, after that she had gotten healed and was free of pain, then they asked her. They hadn't even checked with her, you know, and asked her, and she hadn't been going to church. She grew up in church, hadn't been going to church, and they got her. They talked to her, and she rededicated her life to the Lord. Amen. But notice God didn't require her to do that for he healed her body. He healed her body before that. Why? Because he's good. He's good. See another, anybody else might require something. God just says, come, cry out to me. Cry out to me in your distress. Amen. And he sent his word, and he healed them. Glory to God. But you got to know the goodness of God before you can minister the goodness of God. So that's why we spent time tonight. Father, you are good. Let's just lift our hands and thank him. Father, you are good. Just tell him right where you are. Father, you're good. You're good to me. Hallelujah. You've been good to man and I all these years, Lord God. Your goodness is so overwhelming. Hallelujah. It's more than we'd ever ask or think. You've brought us through things, Father God, of our own making, things the devil tried to do to us. Every time we've come to you, you've always been good to us. You're good even when we didn't know it. You've been faithful, God. You've been faithful. And so, Father, we'll not neglect to talk about your goodness. We'll glorify your goodness. We'll magnify your mercy, God. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor, Father. Jesus, Jesus, we bless you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. We glorify you. You are good. You are good, Lord. You are good. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Give you glory and give you honor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just I got a text earlier today from my son. He was out. He's a Rhema graduate, but he was ministering in Somerset, Kentucky today. Had two deaf ears open up in the service. Amen. Why? Because God is good. Because God is good. And when we expect, Pastor Craig this morning talked about us expecting miracles. We can expect miracles. If you haven't seen, go online and watch it. We should expect miracles. Glory to God. Why? Because God is good. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glenn and Heather are going to come up. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on up. God's a good God. They're going to pray with you. And God, you're not going to leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you need prayer for anything, come on. They're our prayer team tonight. Do we have first time? Do we have some first time guests? One? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know God's going to be good to our sister tonight? Amen. Going to be good because he's a good God. Hallelujah. They'll minister to you. Yeah, it's not. I don't have anything special. Anything they don't have. We all got the same Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And the same good God. Let's all stand together. Everybody stand together. Hallelujah. Say this with me. God is good.
God is good.
All the time. And all the time. God is good.
God is good.
Amen. Shake hands with somebody before you leave. Let them know you love them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.